Hey everyone, welcome to Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. Mike, how you doing?
Good. Welcome back, Todd. We had some fun while you were away. We had Barry and Angelo filling in for a couple weeks, so that was fun.
Yeah, I was off in Hawaii getting my son graduated, but he got a little geeky on the last show, but...
What do you expect?
Yeah, you get Angelo on and you start talking about, you know, he's a programmer, so what, right. You know, it is what it is. But if you haven't listened to those two episodes, make sure you go back and listen to them and get subscribed over at podcastinsider.com. But today, I got construction going on behind me. They're diamond polishing a concrete floor. Have you ever heard that?
Oh, yeah. I heard you on some meetings. Hopefully, yeah. It's not too bad in the studio there. It doesn't seem to. I'm not hearing anything, so
yeah,
that's good.
It's not bad, so keep our fingers crossed here.
And all my neighbors are working on their lawns today, so I've got leaf blowers and trimmers and mowers and helicopters flying over. You got everything here.
And normally it's very, very quiet, but they're trying to get this dispensary ready to go. But anyway, it's an interesting way of doing a floor. It seems expensive, but we get some news, got some best practices for you. We've got an interview today. We've got a question of the week, of course. But let's go ahead and kick off with our news segment. So Amazon Prime Day to include podcasts.
Yeah.
Really?
They're offering some discounts on Audible and Amazon Music and Wondery Plus and, you know, all their podcast-related stuff is included in there for the first time, so.
Oh, that's cool. You know, we've got an Amazon Web Services offering as well. And for those of you that use Amazon Web Services, our Blueberry Pro hosting service is available through Amazon. Not Amazon.com, but the Amazon Marketplace for AWS.
Right. So, but Prime Day, I guess, is 2 days this year. It's the 21st and 22nd.
So. It seems like Prime Day always ends up being a bunch of Amazon stuff they're trying to sell, a bunch of their devices. That's, you know, that seems to be the time where they discount all their stuff that they're trying to do. But I never really find many good deals on those Amazon Prime Days. Do you?
No, only, like I said, unless you're looking for a Echo device or something like that, or a tablet or whatever, you know,
right.
But for the most part, I've got everything I need, and when I need something, I just need it then. I don't have to wait for a deal.
So what is a listening deal? That's the thing that I've got kind of confused about here. They're going to offer premium content as part of Prime Day?
I don't know. I didn't see anything in there about that. But, well, Wondery Plus, that's kind of a you know, premium thing, and I'm sure, you know, Audible, that's also a premium thing, so
yeah,
I guess that sort of relates.
I do have to laugh though on this next article title: How Podcasting Will Save the Open Web. Well, we've been open.
Yeah, well, what they're getting at is, and I kind of read through this article and thought it was pretty good, talking about, you know, back in, say, the 90s and early 2000s, the web was pretty much wide open. And then now there's all these verticals and silos and, you know, and now lately it's all, you know, you've got apps on mobile. And, you know, so you're just locked into whatever's involved with that app rather than just an open web platform. And, you know, podcasting is still open. There are some apps that are trying to close it off, obviously, you know, Apple with their thing and Wondery and, you know, all the different ones, Spotify, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that too, but as long as they don't kill the open part of it is what I, you know, read into this. It's like, you know, remember, podcasting is open, you know, so, you know, it's, I don't know. It's, I think it's going to, you know, remain that way.
And well, you know, and if you think about it, if you're on YouTube, you're on a YouTube platform. They're niche of the web. If you're on Facebook, it's their niche of the web. If you're on iHeart or Pandora or Spotify, you're on their part of the internet. But there is so much more.
Yeah, and you know, that's why we always push web pages too, you know.
Yeah, well, having your own website, you know, is because that is your part of the internet. And, you know, and I think what people probably do now, Mike, is they probably have 3 or 4 tabs open to Pandora, Facebook, Spotify, or wherever they are. And they don't venture around very much, but there's such a rich, rich world of content beyond those portals, especially, you know, stuff that's actually hidden from you oftentimes in those portals, because they think they know you better than you know yourself, and they try to present content to you that they think you should consume.
And admittedly, a lot of that's pretty good. It's just, it's not everything.
Right.
And it's, you know, you may find that there's something out there that you just don't see on, you know, say Apple Podcasts. Not every podcast is on Apple Podcasts. Right. Not every podcast is on Spotify.
But I guess it goes back to, again, what we've talked about multiple times in this show is, you know, if you have great show notes, great titles for your episodes, that's how you corner your content in this open ecosphere. But again, if you really think about this, go further. If you're on a competitor of ours, sometimes you have no choice. You're on their portal. That's the only place your content can be, is their portal. And is that necessarily good? You know, obviously one of the hosting providers out there has over 1 million dead shows on their platform.
Right, but they're so all under their own domain, you know, their domain, your domain.
Right. So, you know, we do have customers at Blueberry that use the Blueberry publisher, that publish on blueberry.com, that gets a Blueberry feed and gets a Blueberry embed player to put on their website. We have a portion of those folks that do that, but the high majority of our podcast customers are the ones that are on their own, you know, they've built their own brand. So it is a on their own .coms, on their own websites, whether provided by us or one that they built their own. So anyway, I think we here at Blueberry will always support an open RSS and making sure that podcasting continues to stay open and it make it available so that gatekeepers, as we used to call them, don't impede your listeners from being able to listen to your content.
Right. So. Well, it's, you know, Angela and I talked about this a bit last week, but, you know, Apple has fundamentally changed how podcasts work in their platform.
That's right.
And, you know, it's now a lot more, you know, they can take you out of Apple and you are just gone from your subscriber's phone. Whereas before it was still pretty open. And, you know, Apple's just one of the players out there, but there are so many more. And, you know, I'll throw another link. I did it a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to put another link in there too. There's a list of all these new podcast apps that are coming out that are not based on some big company's API and all that. So anyway.
I don't know if Apple helped themselves with this latest update.
Yeah, I don't think so either, in my humble opinion.
Right. You know, and for the listener, it doesn't make a lot of difference. They don't see a difference. But fundamentally, how the content is tapped into your site is no longer exists. It basically is pulling from the Apple library, which in my opinion really sucks, but that is a decision that they made. Meanwhile, their rollout of the paid subscriptions for podcasts has been delayed because, you know, they've had a bit of a nightmare with their website, and a lot of people can't even publish brand new shows or can't get them up online.
Can't get them to pull into Apple for whatever reason. One of our good customers put a post on our Facebook group today, you know, or yesterday, I guess, saying he's still not able to sign into Podcast Connect. So, you know, they still haven't got their upgrade totally worked out yet. So I'm sure they're working on it. I mean, you know, of course, but dang, you know,
they've got a bit of egg on their face on this rollout for sure. And sometimes that happens. And maybe they were rushing it. Who knows?
Who knows? And you know, and they'll figure it out. I mean, something will happen over there, and they'll definitely figure it out. But we just have to be patient. They move at Apple speed.
Headspace Studios, I don't even know who they are launching a new podcast channel.
Yeah, Headspace is an app. It's like a meditation app that you can get on your phone, and it helps you meditate and all that. Well, they've come out with a studio now, and they're going to do some podcast channels on Apple's new subscription service, ironically. And so that's what this is all about. So they're going to, you know, I think it's going to cost you like $3 a month or something like that. And you can get all the different channels on Headspace via podcasting instead of using the Headspace app.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So all right. That's mainly it. And then, of course, they're going to have a whole channel about sleep. And Sesame Street or Sesame Workshop has teamed up with them to have a kids sleep podcast called Goodnight World. So that'll be launching whenever Apple's thing finally launches, but that's through Headspace. So interesting stuff. I mean, if you ever tried any of that, you know, it's something you put on and it's supposed to help you meditate. Well, now, like I said, they're doing other channels and more podcast related stuff along with their whole meditation thing.
Right. Hey, big congratulations to Marco Arment, the maker of Overcast, for being inducted into the Apple Viz. In other words, it's basically a group that looks at it's an iOS app Hall of Fame, and it's for visually impaired, and they honor apps that have went above and beyond over many years to provide a good experience for those that are blind and vision impaired. So it's at the appleviz.com website. I don't believe it's affiliated with Apple.
No, they're not affiliated directly with Apple. It's a
community. It's called the Apple Viz, V-I-S community. So congratulations to him on that. He was one of two apps that were picked so far for 2021.
That's very good. And, you know, we do that here as well at Blueberry. You know, when we find that there's something that causes an issue with the visually impaired or hearing impaired or whatever,
right?
You know, that becomes top priority to fix that if it's a problem.
It's an accessibility issue.
Yeah, there we go. I was trying to think of that word. Yeah. It's been a while since I've been on live, Todd. See, I got to edit last week.
Oh, that's good. No editing today. Right. So yes, and for those of you that are, and we've talked about this a little bit before, accessibility at Blueberry is really, 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 really important. I have to give credit to Angelo for, because I knew nothing about accessibility when we started the company in 2005. And he did from his previous employer. So he was very adamant in the very early days that everything that we did be accessible. And it still is today. Not all podcast hosts are, but we definitely really put a heavy emphasis on it. Let's move into best practices. We've talked about this one a few times, but boy, oh boy, I know what prompted this one. I saw in one of our chats the file name of a. Do you have that example, Mike? Of what?
I don't.
It was like Tony dash does dash runs dash dash around dash the dash clock dash.
I think it was in our rant channel, wasn't it?
It was really.
I have it.
Okay, this is now, ladies and gentlemen, please don't do this. You want to read the title?
I'll work on it. All right, so it was Industries 4 now _ episode _ one. _ industry spelled differently, _ 4, _ 0, _ little n, _ EST, _ PST, _, it just goes on, and it's like four lines in Slack.
So
.mp3 at the end, though.
So first and foremost, before we start give our recommendations here, your media file names have absolutely nothing to do with SEO.
Yes, it will not help you or hurt you.
Right.
In SEO.
You can have your file name abcdefg.mp3 and you'll be fine. So we've picked a very simple naming convention. I've used this convention for years. So my naming convention is very simple let's just talk about my show, Geek News Central. So I do GNC dash the year 2021-06-03.mp3. That way, I have a good organization of my media. And what we do here at Podcast Insider is the same. PCI-2021-6-3. Now, you don't put the zeros in. I do. But it doesn't matter. And some people have used something like serial-s1e4.mp3, meaning serial season 1, episode 4, to keep track. And it's basically just... it's an organization piece.
Yeah, I do it way simpler yet, as I just have the three digits. So for Podcast Help Desk, it's just PHD001.mp3. Uh-huh. Just increments up on the numbers.
Yep. I always forget the increments, so that's why I use the dates. Can't get that wrong.
Nope, can't.
And, you only use numbers, letters, dashes or underscores in the file name for anything on the internet, not just your media, but your artwork and other files so that they are downloadable. So again, you only use numbers, letters, dashes or underscores.
I know some operating systems do allow spaces in file names, Apple and Linux and Unix and all that. And I think even now Windows, but that doesn't work well on the internet. A lot of things, like in our case, for podcasters, the MP3 files are downloaded into various apps and systems and directories and all that stuff.
Over 100 places the media goes, yeah.
Right, and not all those systems deal with spaces the same. Some of them will put an underscore in place. Some of them will leave the space there. Some of them will put in some weird ASCII characters, and sometimes it just breaks things.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it simple.
Yep. Yes. Keep it simple. And I'm not going to say the last word, but yes, the KISS method. So anyway, that's that. And link will be in the show notes for you guys to see examples. Let's talk about Blueberry News. You were busy yesterday, Mike.
Oh, yeah. I did two webinars yesterday, one for category podcasting in PowerPress and one for podcast channels in PowerPress. And I do have the links to the replay videos. It'll be in the show notes there, so if you missed that. But basically explaining what the two different options are for doing multiple shows on PowerPress.
Gotcha. So our latest blog post is up. What we as podcasters owe our podcast listeners. It's done by one of our new writers, Bill Meeks. So we've got a team of writers now producing podcasts. Post for our blog, or actually blog post for our blog. And so anyway, what we owe our podcast listeners, that link will be up in the show notes. Of course, if you want to write for the Podcast Insider blog, if you, like Bill does, all you have to do is send an email to marketing@blueberry.com and, send us a little info, who you are, what you know about the podcasting space. I'm really kind of looking for some people that really know Blueberry. If you are a hosting customer and use all of our tools, we would love to have you be a writer, because many of our writers are not necessary Blueberry customers. So
we have a wide swath of podcast experience there, but not specific to Blueberry.
That's right. So if you're interested in writing for Blueberry, marketing@blueberry.com, Jeff and the team will get back with you. But what else is going on with PowerPress?
Yeah, of course, we can't let an episode go by without mentioning. Ben did a few bug fixes and other small tweaks. So just before recording today, he put out 8.6.5.
So, I think this fixed a couple of my bugs that I've got going on.
Yeah. So usually that's how that happens. It's either you or I find the bug and bug them.
Yeah. So this week we do have an interview with Terry Welbrock. She does the Healing Place podcast. So we're going to cut to the interview. For those of you watching us live, so hang on for a few seconds. We'll be with you. But for those of you listening via podcast, here's the interview with Terry. Hey, everyone, and welcome Terry Wilbrough to Podcast Insider. She's a four-year podcaster and been in the game since 2017. So, Terry, you survived beyond 2 years, so congratulations. You've accomplished more than many podcasters have, but welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much, Todd. I'm happy to be here and love Blueberry and just, yes, it's an honor to be here talking to you and sharing my story.
So you're doing a podcast called Healing Place Podcast. You know, just, you know, what we like to talk about on the show is why podcasting. You're a speaker, you're a blogger, you've done stuff with therapy dogs. Where did the podcast come into the play? When did you decide to get into this medium?
So I was working in a mental health agency and had some friends who were therapists. And one of my younger therapist friends said to me when we were hanging out, we should totally start a podcast. And I was in my 50s when I started it. And she's in her 20s. And so at first I was like, oh my gosh, a podcast. Okay, let's do it. It'll be fun. Let's try it. So we started this show and talked about fun, silly stuff of angels and aliens, but really with an underlying theme of healing and trauma, since we were working with kids in a mental health agency, geared towards helping children on their healing journey. And then we only did about 10 episodes. She had to transition away because she had gotten a job at a big hospital in a big city. And so I said, you know, I think I want to continue with this, but take it a little more serious direction, still having fun with it. And so I started reaching out to friends and family about stories of hope. And I had a friend who had overcome breast cancer, and so she came and joined me and talked about it. And then I had a friend that ran an ultra marathon, which is 100 miles, and she did it in under 24 hours. And I can't even fathom running for 24 hours straight, and just amazing. And then I said to myself, you know what? I think I really want to reach out to folks in the trauma recovery arena, because I'm a survivor myself. And so I started just sending out emails and saying, hey, I have the show and I'd love to have you on to talk about your insights, about your book, your speaking engagements, whatever it is that they were doing in the trauma recovery world. And the response was amazing. They started to respond and said, sure, Tara, I'd love to come on your show. And all of a sudden, I started to have these super insightful, brilliant minds come on and talk to me. I was learning so much in the process as a survivor as well. So it made for great, authentic conversation. And yeah, that's how it grew.
So that's interesting. So you go from angels and aliens. That's quite the journey. You know, it's kind of funny though. There's lots of this, probably the alien thing would be big right now because there's all this story about all these UFOs that are, you know, now publicly being disclosed by the Navy and other people. So, and we're expecting a report from the government on that soon, but that's not here nor there. But anyway,
right.
So
I won't say that they don't still come up, angels and aliens both. So occasionally they come into the conversation.
I think though, when people have life altering experiences or things that's happened to them where maybe they had a near death or maybe they did die and were, you know, resuscitated or whatever it may be, there's always lots of amazing stories and people have this realization, you know, that it's almost like this restarting over point. I was injured pretty bad in 2004. And for me, the 13 days in the hospital was a time to reflect, saying, hey, you got a second chance to do something different. And so I think, you know, there's always these great stories that come out of recovery. And I think you're getting, you know, I've always said for podcasting and most podcasters that I talk to, most get almost more out of it than sometimes maybe even what the audience realizes. And I think it's almost a form of therapy to a certain extent. Would you agree to me on that or?
Yes, 100%. I think I exude my emotions. So my audience may pick up on the fact because I get downright giddy, like I'll clap and cheer and laugh and cry, I'll cry. But it really is, again, I have learned so much. I'm finishing a book manuscript, and so a lot of what I've learned along this way, I've infiltrated into the book, obviously crediting folks who I've sure. had on. But it really is, I just have to give a shout out to all my guests, because they're just these amazing souls who, when I put a little email out to them and said, hey, I'm finishing this book manuscript, what are your thoughts on, should I self-publish? Should I go with a traditional? What should I do? 40 of them came back. Now, these are number one best-selling authors. Oh my gosh, Terry, here's my agent's name. Here's, you know, go with this publisher. Here, try this one, do this. And it was just such a compliment. I steered away from your question, but yeah.
That's okay.
It has been wonderful. And it's just, that in itself was therapeutic, because these people were believing in my story and my mission and what I want to do in the world of shining that light of hope.
You know, part of the goal of these discussions we do with podcasters is always to find out what are you getting out of it? And obviously it's hope, it's enlightenment, it's, you know, ideas for overcoming challenges, I'm assuming. So yes. Where do you think the biggest impact for you personally has been? And again, I know that we've already talked about some of it, but what's really kind of been your biggest impact or to you?
I think having validation for my story of not just survival, but then thriving, learning how to move from that survivor mindset of I made it through it, I'm broken, I'm going to sit here in my symptoms. But these amazing souls have come on and talked about strategies and so much hope that I've taken on a lot of it myself. I knew much of it, but I've learned. There's not an episode that I've had where I have not learned something. And I think that's powerful. And that's what I hope the audience, at least one person is tuning in and saying, I didn't know that, or I'm going to try that in bringing hope to people's lives. So,
right. You know, it's maybe a interesting antidote, but you know, it's always like when people are facing issues or have something, you know, going on with their life, it's hard to rope it back into single bites. You know, it's like you can't eat a buffalo in one setting. You have a bite at a time. That's kind of a, you know, general saying maybe people say, right. But I often find too, even in my personal life, is that, you know, if I can chunk it out by segments and take one piece at a time and kind of work on that, it's not so overwhelming on dealing with anything in life. And I've also tried to say, if it isn't going to matter in 10 years, I'm not going to stress it too much, right? But I think that people have come out of some sort of traumatic event, and it's, you know, everyone's different because it's so varied on what it could have been. It could have been physical, mental, everything else. So when you're talking with these folks and sharing these stories, what's the kind of feedback you're getting from your audience? Is your audience like, are they right there clapping with you and sending emails back, or how's that went?
Yes, I have a pretty big, for me, it's big, like 5,000 followers on the Facebook page. So there's interaction there. And I receive feedback, and then they'll send me private messages, because I think with trauma recovery, there's still a shame factor. There's still a fear of not wanting to put it out there into the world that they had this happen to them, mm-hmm. or they've experienced that. And whether it's growing up in an alcoholic household or whether they've been abused in some way. And so they'll private message me and say, even through email, through my website, they'll reach out and say, thank you so much for this. I just had one, I put in an interview out Wednesday, and I already had somebody email me back and say, this was such a motivational conversation. I can't wait to go buy their book. And so it just makes my heart happy and smile, because knowing that I've just by having a conversation, which is what these podcasts are, that somebody's life can be impacted in a positive way. It's beautiful.
You know, I've It's been 14, almost 15 years ago. I lost my dad in an automobile accident. My mom was really left to pick up an incredible pieces of business and a whole variety of things. And we did a short, I think it was 23 or 24 episodes that talked about this process that she went through and the family went through. It's basically this transition from, you know, being happily married and having defined roles to being a widow and, you know, crying over things. I can't find the, you know, key to the lawnmower because he had it stashed someplace, you know. And for us, our goal really with that show, and I've told this many times, was we just want to touch one person. If we can help one person, the show will have succeeded. And ultimately, we touched a lot of people and got a lot of feedback. And even today, we get feedback from time to time. So do you feel then that those that you're helping are also telling other people, hey, you need to listen to the show. There's good information here. You're getting that kind of community growth. And of course, that feedback, like you said, you just got, that almost like makes the time you put into doing the podcast completely worth it, right?
Oh, absolutely. And same sort of thing. I'll have folks reach out to me in whatever manner and say, I was just talking to my friend about your show and told her she totally needs to listen to this episode, or she just needs to listen to it in general mm-hmm. because there's so much awesome information here. And so it's just, again, it's one person telling another person, hey, you need to check this out. And again, it's just been, I shared the podcast on a blog called Aces Connection, and that's, which I think they've changed it to Paces Connection. They put a positive in front of it. And that's like 50,000 members in the trauma recovery world. And so they'll talk to each other. And I have guests that come on that say, oh, I've seen your name on Aces Connection, or I heard somebody talking about you on an Aces Connection site. And so to me, again, it's such a compliment to know that this show is reaching those people that need it.
Yeah, I think a lot of podcasters have challenges sometimes finding their audience. So you know where your audience is hanging out. And they, of course, you got the Facebook group, but like you said, this other site where people congregate that are looking for answers or for resources. I think that's important just from a general stand is, you know, if you're obviously, if you're listening to this interview, you're a podcaster because you're listening to what's going on here at Blueberry and other stuff. But, you know, are you getting to your audience without being, how should we say it, pitchy, you know, or being a marketeer? Because there is a fine line there between, you know, being helpful or being a marketing snob. So how have you balanced that in those forums? Have you basically weighed in on a topic that maybe someone has talked about on your show, or how have you bridged that?
Yes, I have joined a couple of groups, large groups on Facebook. So for instance, there's an I don't know the exact name, but they're an abuse survivor group. And so I think it has 24,000 members, something like that. I don't, because of group rules, I can't put out, hey, listen to this show, which would be great for them to all listen to the show. However, I will, if somebody's put something out that I've recently talked about, or I say, oh my gosh, that guest was so amazing, I will respond to their post and say, hey. So it's just really engaging people and saying, I just had a great conversation about this on my podcast. And I don't say the name of the show. I just say on my podcast about this. And here's what I discovered, blah, 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 blah. And people will come. I mean, obviously, others than just the person who posted will like it or love it or whatever. But they'll comment and say, oh, that's really, I hadn't thought about that before. Well, whatever their response may be, because I know that they can then click on my name and see as soon as they click on my name, the first thing that pops up is host of the Healing Place podcast. And then if they really want to know, they can find the Healing Place podcast. But the whole purpose is really to just use what I'm learning, use what the podcast is helping others mm-hmm. learn to help others.
Right.
So that's how I do it.
I've always said that if you can, in these conversations you're having with communities, whether it's yours or another, it's why having information basically written down somewhere in a spreadsheet or where it may be, it's been episode 22. Talk to so-and-so, just some, you know, some almost like bridge notes that basically would remember, okay, we had a conversation about this. And then it makes it easier to point people at a specific resource without being come over and listen to my podcast type of thing, right? So I think you've found a way there to garner an audience without having to be, you know, overly over the top about it. And I think that's a mistake some podcasters do, even though they mean well, because they're sitting out and say, oh, I talked about this. This is what I need to, I want to share this. But then you're like, yeah, I can't self-promote. So you, right. you have to find that balance. And so it's good that you've done that. And some people navigate it better than others. I haven't navigated it well at times myself. So
yes, I should do it more often and promise myself. But somebody had told me recently, just do it 15 minutes a day. Mm. Go into one of those groups or and see what resonates with you in the moment, because then your response really is going to be so genuine
right.
and real. And that's what people pick up on is. And I think that's one of the most beautiful compliments I've received about this show is that these shows are so authentic because it's not really, they're not scripted. They're kind of what you and I are doing mm-hmm. right now. Just these, yes, I'll throw some questions out, but they're just authentic, real conversations. And that's what people resonate with. That's fun.
And I think you're in a genre that fits well for those discussions. And oftentimes I get discouraged when I listen to a marketeer or something like that. It's just like, it's this blatant kind of, you know, almost, how should I say it? I don't necessarily get a good taste in my mouth over the content. So I think you're in a genre where, you know, it's self-evident that this is good, rich material. It's authentic. There's nothing fake. There's no agendas behind it. Yeah, someone may have a book on their experience, but people aren't obligated to go buy a book or to, you know, whatever they're offering, if they are offering something. Maybe it's just someone's story that's just their story. They want to tell their story because they want other people to learn from it. So I think this genre of content that you're doing is very, very valuable. And I, you know, and if it helps you in the process, which it obviously is, then, you know, winner, winner, chicken dinner, right?
Absolutely. And you know, it's so funny what you just said. I'm creating 3 online courses right now. My first attempt at it and sent it off to beta testers and got great feedback. So I put a little blurb at the beginning of today's episode that it's coming out tonight. And so, and I almost felt like, oh my God, am I spamming people with my stuff? But all it was, hey, I created these awesome courses. Can't wait to get it out there. More to come. But I don't want it to be that kind of salesy, pitchy. It's not about that. It's about just really, again, hope and healing and all that fun stuff. So,
yeah. You know, so you'll kind of think it's funny, in the early days of podcasting, being commercial and doing commercial things wasn't so popular. And I had gotten fortunate enough to do the first book on podcasting. And when I announced that book, I lost half my audience because, oh, you sold out. You went commercial, you know.
Oh.
So luckily today we're living in an era where it's fully expected. If you're a creator and you're doing these things and you put a book together and, you know, it's just a natural vehicle or a class like you're doing. People that appreciate and follow you will say, yeah, I want to support. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But in the early days of podcasting, you had to tread very, very lightly.
Yes, half my audience, I'd just be like tears streaming down.
Well, it was a good thing because it was the next month I actually got another, or 2 months later, I actually had an actual sponsor. So that was, you know, so it set the stage. Those that had left because I had sold out, well, they were gone already. The rest were there, were good with the with me being able to, you know, pay myself at least. So
right.
Yeah, how times have changed. So tell me about your website. Where can folks find your show? And of course, it's on Apple and all the other locations, but I always like to point people towards your website.
Thanks. It's terriwellbrock.com and it's T-E-R-I, so just one R, and then W-E-L-L, the letter B, and then R-O-C-K. I always feel like I should sing that out. R-O-C-K.
Right. I can, it's funny how our minds get triggered on some stuff. Yeah. So we'll make sure that the link to your website gets in your show notes. And, you know, just for a little more narrowing in, is the show largely mental trauma or is it physical or both? Is there a mismatch? Is there a recovery from a mix of both, or where does it really weigh?
Yeah, it's really any sort of trauma. I focus a lot in that the topic comes up on adverse childhood experiences or ACEs, and that's again, what's happened to someone in their first 18 years of life and how it affects the adult life, which is on a physical, mental, and spiritual level. My number one downloaded, it just jumped to number one, is sugar addiction. And so I had someone come on and talk about how adverse childhood experiences and trauma impact addiction and how so many are drawn to food and that sugar addiction. And so it was a great episode.
Sugar addiction. Oh, I have a little of that myself.
I said, oh, those 29 pounds I gained over the pandemic, as I would open the drawer and be like, ooh, chips.
You know, I don't know what I'm doing, but it's finally going the other way. The 10 or 15 I put on is starting to go backwards. But, I, you know, it's largely because I think we're getting out. It's warm and we're not, you know, cuddled up and trying to stay keep from being frozen from the previous winter we just had.
Yeah, I've lost 12 of that 29. But again, just by getting on the bike and we moved to Hilton Head Island last year. And so I don't have an excuse. I need to be out and enjoying and walking the beach. So, yeah.
So is the book that you're shopping, is it your first or have you done books in the past?
I wrote a little book about our Labradoodle, Sammy, who's a registered therapy dog. She and I are a registered therapy dog team. And so I wrote that with my daughter, who was then in fourth grade. So she's now a freshman in high school. And so we drew the pictures ourselves and we self-published through KDP, Kindle Direct Publishing. Right. It was just such a great experience for us, mother, daughter, and the whole process. And so we'll talk about that with kids when we do therapy dogs in school. But it's just that's more of a gift to kids. We have a Sammy's Bundles of Hope project that we do, and we fill bags with stress balls and bubbles and journals and stuffed animals. And then we put a copy of the doodle with the noodle is the name of it. And so we'll put a copy of that in there for kids who are in homeless shelters. And so they're kids who are struggling. They're displaced right now. And so we give them these bags and they get a copy of our little book. So no, the book I'm writing now is my journey through 22 years of horrific trauma. I score a 10 out of 10 on the ACEs assessment, meaning I had a lot of it, and how I then experienced panic attacks for 25 years and then transitioned onto the healing path and my journey into healing. And so now I'm so excited to be like, I'm not broken after all, that we can heal, that I'm just shouting it from the rooftops, and hence the show.
There is life beyond.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
You know, so I wish you the best of luck. And honestly, I think the way to go is to have a publisher, because they have a whole PR marketing team. They can, you know, otherwise you have to do it all yourself. I was lucky enough to have a publisher, and, you know, they got that book in front of distribution that I would have never been able to done myself. Or self-publishing in 2005 really wasn't a big thing yet. But no, so I haven't done a second book. I don't envy anyone that's writing a book, because it's so much work. It really, really is. But it's I think everyone should have to write at least one in their lifetime. I think it's an exercise everyone should have to go through. But all right, everyone. So go over to Terry's website at Terry, T-E-R-I, wellbrock.com. And I'll have the link up in the show notes, of course, for you. Subscribe to your show if you know someone that may need her show. That's more important. If you don't necessarily need her show, maybe you know someone that does, because we all have families and friends that have experienced something that may they be dealing with. So definitely we thank you for coming on Podcast Insider. And again, thank you for being a customer. And of course, best of luck to you in your ongoing podcast journey.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you again for allowing me to come on and share my thoughts and insights. And again, just happy to be a part of the Blueberry team.
Thank you so much. And everyone, back to the regular show.
All right.
All right, I want to thank Terry for participating in the Podcast Insider. If you want to be on the show as well, all you got to do is send an email to Mike Todd or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. We'll get you in the scheduling and get you to tell your story about your show. So let's move on, Mike. Let's talk about question of the week.
Yeah, we saw this one on Twitter and figured I would quote it a little, and we could cover it here, but there's something, you know, north of 2 million podcasts out there, and the person was asking, is it still worth getting into podcasting, you know, with so many out there? And I figured that was a pretty good topic because I think you guys were talking about that on a new media show yesterday.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But the answer is a resounding yes. Get into it. Because there's a lot less shows out there than the total number, that are active. You know, what did you guys figure? Like 600,000 maybe did one in the last 90 days?
Yeah, 600,000 in the last 90 days as compared to over 600 million blogs in the world today with over 1.7 billion websites. So if you're only competing with really what you're truly probably competing with is about 400,000 shows.
Yeah, something like that.
And
then
you break that into 20 categories, then it's really, 20,000 people that you're competing with. And considering that most of those shows won't make it 2 years, we narrow that down even further. So all you got to do is grind. You just got to create content. Sustained superior content, as I said in our newsletter our announcement that went out the other day.
Yeah, one of the stats that I looked up is there's 130 million books out there in print. And yet every year, millions of people publish more books and, a good number of them sell a few and sell a lot and make some money and get their words out there. Podcasting's no different, And one thing about podcasting is, there might be, in theory, 3 million shows or whatever out there, but none of those have you in it unless you do one.
Right.
And a lot of podcasts are driven by the host. Or, the listeners care more about the host than they care about the topic even.
Yep.
Sometimes. And, like I listen to some podcasts that I'm really not that interested in the topic, but I like the host.
Yep. So. We find when Rob and I do the new media show, when we have a guest, usually our numbers are lower when we have a guest and it was just Rob and I by ourselves. So that's saying something.
And like I said, it's... there's nobody out there that can do a podcast like you can do your podcast, and you should do that if that's what you're into. And it's a fun hobby. Yeah. If nothing else, you may not get, rich on it, but it's fun.
Yep. So if you have a question you'd like us to answer on the show, drop an email to mike@bluebeard.com, audio, text, or even video if you want. We may use it on the show. And of course, the most important thing here is the best place for support with any Blueberry product services, our ticket system at blueberry.com/support. Sending a ticket gives the whole team access to the questions rather than direct emails or direct phone calls. Quit emailing Mike directly for support, folks. Go to thebluebeard.com/support because he's going to often, if he's busy, he may forward it to one of the other team members. So it's just better to send it to blueberry.com. Go to blueberry.com/support, submit your tickets. But what's planned for Podcast Help Desk this weekend?
I don't have any hard, fast plans this week, but I'm sure I'll come up with something. Maybe I'll expand on some geeky thing that I ran across in the next couple of days. So,
all right. So you can check out that companion show at podcasthelpdesk.com. Of course, we want you to subscribe here to Podcast Insider at podcastinsider.com. If you have any comments or, again, want to be interviewed for the show like Terry did, drop us a note. We want to hear from you.
Yes, Todd, definitely.
Mike or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. Of course, blueberry without the E's because we couldn't afford the E's. Yep. And blubrry.com will get us to us. Did I miss anything, Mike?
Well, I want to thank the Blueberry Pro team for production team for making us sound smarter than we are and, cleaning everything up. So that's great. And let's see. Oh. You want a 30-day free use of anything that we do here at Blueberry, use the promo code INSIDER. That'll give you 30 days, and you can decide whether we're just that good or not.
And lots of exciting stuff coming. We got demoed more stuff this week. I'm really jazzed where we're at, and you're all like, where the heck is all this stuff you keep talking about? It's coming. We promise.
Yeah, it's a slow slog, but unlike Apple, we want to get it right the first time.
That's right. we may not get it perfect, but at least knock on wood, it's going to work.
Yeah, it'll all work.
All right, everyone, thanks for being here, and thanks for being part of the Blueberry family. If you're not a Blueberry customer already, join us and do things the Blueberry way, and let's get your show and your audience growing. Don't forget, I do one-on-ones with Blueberry customers every week. If you want to do a one-on-one with me, it's todd@blueberry.com. All right, everyone. We'll see you next time. Everyone, take care. Be good. Be safe. Bye-bye.
See you next week.